this morning. My name is Trevor. I'm the lead pastor here at Risen. And if you have a Bible, I would invite you to open with me to Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. It is every week I have the great privilege of being able to open up God's word before you and to be able to teach it and expound upon it so that we might leave understanding God's word better and, more importantly, that we would love God more because of his word. And that's a great honor. This week's text is a text that I was looking forward to preaching, not just because it's one of those texts that we're so familiar with, but it's also a text that I think really speaks to how some of us are feeling in this moment in life. And so if you don't already know this about us as a church, when we gather, we walk verse by verse through the Bible. We've been in the Gospel of Mark for a while. This will be our last week in the Gospel of Mark for a little while, and then we'll do 2 weeks and over the course of the next 2 weeks talking about how do we love people who don't know Jesus, loving the lost, and then we'll have Palm Sunday and Easter, which will be wonderful, and really looking forward to the weeks ahead as a church. And then just lastly, and maybe just want to say this before we get started, if you're not a member of the church or you're interested in church membership, if you hate church membership, if you love church membership, if you don't know what you think about church membership, one of my favorite classes to teach here is our membership class. So right after the service, down in the library, lunch is provided. It'll take about an hour of your time, and I promise that it will be worth it. So please come and join us if you want to do that. All right. Let's begin this morning. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are in a situation in life when your bank account is nearly empty, when your energy is drained, when your to-do list feels like it gets bigger rather than smaller, when your calendar is filling up, and then you get another notification. And then you discover another need. There's another demand. And you feel extended and exhausted. And you feel like you have nothing left to give. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever felt like you don't have enough? You don't have enough time to serve. You don't have enough strength to care. You don't have enough resources to make it all work. There's a line in The Lord of the Rings when Gandalf is talking to Bilbo, and Bilbo says, "I feel old, Gandalf. I feel old. I feel tired, like butter scraped over too much bread." Have you ever felt like that before? Well, the disciples in Mark 6 feel like that. They're worn out from preaching and casting out demons and healing people, and they're overwhelmed by a hungry crowd that seems to be only growing. And they have very little to give, as we'll discover this morning. But then Jesus steps in. And what looks like too little will become an overwhelming feast in the hands of Jesus. And so today we're going to look at how Jesus takes our not enough, whatever we've got, and does more with it than we ever could have. That's where we find ourselves this morning in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. There was a little story we looked at last week about John the Baptist as Mark was trying to help us understand that when the disciples are sent out, they're going to be rejected. And if you're curious as to what rejection looks like, well, here's John the Baptist who is ultimately beheaded. But now Mark picks up where he left off in verse 12 and 13 with the disciples returning to Jesus from their work. And in verse 30, this is what the text says. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them. And they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as you're taking notes with us this morning, here's how we'll be outlining our time together. Those first 3 verses, we'll look at the rest that Jesus offers. And then verses 34 through 37, the compassion that Jesus has. And finally, in verses 38 through 44, the miracle that Jesus works. So the first section is on rest, and then compassion, and then this miracle in Jesus' hands. Let's begin with the rest Jesus offers. Remember, the disciples are returning from the mission that they have been on. And here, Mark refers to them in verse 30 as apostles, meaning sent ones. They had been sent out by Jesus, and they were told to expect rejection, but now they're back. And they had been preaching, and they had been casting out demons, and they had been healing people and anointing them with oil. And they give Jesus a recap of everything that they have been doing. And Jesus recognizes that what they need after this long season, after these being sent out, after the hardship they've faced and the work they've done is they've taken nothing with them, he recognizes that they need rest. They had been serving. They had been ministering, and they were followed by a big, hungry crowd. And they didn't have a chance to eat. And Jesus says to them, it's time to get some rest. You were made for work, and you were made for rest. And we need to rest, and I'll tell you, you need to rest. And some of us don't rest enough. You get snappy with your kids. You're burned out at your job. You're skipping your time of prayer. Rest isn't laziness. Rest is obedience. And what if your lack of rest isn't a time issue? What if it's a trust issue? Some of you fear losing control, missing out. Or maybe some of you are afraid of appearing weak. You don't want to be out of control because you feel like you're supposed to be able to control everything and you feel like you're controlling nothing. Or you feel like if you don't say yes to everything, then there will be good things that will happen that you won't be a part of and you don't want to miss out on those things. Or you're afraid that if you say, I need to rest, people in your life will look down on you as though you're human. Jesus says, come away with me. Jesus calls his disciples after working hard to rest. And I hope that some of you this morning would hear Jesus call you to do the same. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He made you to be human. And he made you to work, yes. But he also calls you to rest. And so he calls them into a boat. And they get into a boat in verse 32. And they head off to a desolate place. The goal is to get to a place that's quieter and desolate. They get some rest on the boat. But probably not as much rest as they wanted. Because in verse 33, we see that the desolate place is a little less desolate. Their restful trip is interrupted. In verse 33, it says that the hungry crowd had run ahead of them to try to meet Jesus and his disciples where they land. At this point in Jesus' ministry, he's become like a celebrity. You know how celebrities sometimes when they travel, you may or may not know this, when they travel, they will use fake names in hotels. And they do that so that their fans can't figure out what hotels they're in, so they can't mob them with pictures and selfies and wanting an interaction. And so in the same way, Jesus has to get away because the crowd is building. He's doing these amazing things, and more people have more demands of him. So the crowd is like, we've got to get to wherever Jesus and the disciples on the boat, we got to get to where they're going before they do. The disciples are invited to rest, but they don't get as much as they'd like. Imagine going on vacation from work. And then you get to your vacation spot and you check into the hotel and the rest of your company is there. And they're not there to vacation. They're there because they've got more work for you to do. When you need vacation and discover that everybody still needs something from you and is also staying in the same hotel you are, and they're not there to relax, they're there because they have a need. The disciples don't like this any more than you would like this. We just ministered and Jesus calls us to rest, and now we've arrived at a desolate place and there's a lot of people. And they're hungry. And the disciples are going to want those people gone. They're in rest mode. That's the other danger of rest. I will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak and the fat and the strong. I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. God looks upon his people without a shepherd and says, I will be their shepherd. God has compassion on his people. It moves him to action. So he sees these people. He sees their needs. He sees their needs more than they see their needs. Because they're probably just thinking about their physical hunger. And what does Jesus do? He begins to shepherd them. He begins to teach them many things, Mark says. The first thing he does is not give them food. The first thing he does is give them God's word. He feeds them spiritually. Church, look at his compassion for these people. His compassion is greater than you could imagine. And Jesus still has compassion for his people. He still knows what you need more than you do. He still offers himself to you. Sometimes we think that because Jesus is is risen from the dead and ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, sometimes we think that he's inaccessible. We think he's too busy. Or we think there are real problems in the world that he must be paying attention to, and therefore bringing my problems to God, they seem so inconsequential. But God has the same compassion for you now that he always has. And his enthronement hasn't made him more distant. It's made him more accessible. Do you realize that? That Jesus in John 16 says that it's to your advantage that I leave. Why? For if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit won't come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Jesus says, I'm going to leave so I can be more accessible to my people than I am now. So while you sometimes think that because Jesus rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father, he must be busy, the reality, he says, I'm going so that I can be more accessible to you. So you don't have to run ahead like the crowd to meet Jesus in the desolate place. You can meet with him now. You can talk to him now. And he has compassion on them and knows what they need, and he knows what you need, and he acts. The disciples do not have compassion on the crowd. In verse 35 and 36, we see that they don't have that compassion. They've kind of had enough of the people. They've gone to a desolate place. It's late. And what do they say? Jesus, the people that you're teaching, send them away, because we can see that their stomachs are grumbling and they're talking about food. Go tell them to leave to go get some food. Not our problem. We were just preaching. We were just teaching. We were just healing. Now we're trying to get some rest. Send them away. But Jesus has compassion. It looks like they care about the crowd, but they don't really. They want them to go away. And so what does Jesus say in verse 37? He says, you give them something to eat. If you're worried about their hunger so much, do something about it. Notice this. Jesus is inviting his disciples to share the kind of compassion that he has for them. Right? I already said compassion is this deep feeling that leads to action. The disciples don't have that, because the only thing they want to do is send them away. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat if you're worried about their hunger. Jesus gives them a chance to do something. How do the disciples see the people? As obstacles to their rest. How does Jesus see them? As image bearers in need. Can we just be honest that sometimes Jesus' followers don't see people the way that Jesus does? Can we just be real about that for a moment? That sometimes Jesus' followers have a tendency to see groups of people and to feel resentment towards them. Church, we must learn to see people, all people, the way that Jesus does. His compassion flows from his heart as the good shepherd. And he calls us to reflect him, not to resent them. Do you ever find yourself using people to get your own desires met? We can't use people to meet our own desires. People aren't objects to consume. People aren't potential sales. People aren't giving units for a church budget. People aren't clicks to build a brand. They're not eyeballs. They're people made in God's image with spiritual and physical needs. And the work that Jesus wants to do for people is often done through his followers. So Jesus here wants to use his disciples. These people who Jesus loved needed help. And Jesus invites his disciples to help. And so my hope is that we as a church would see people the way Jesus does, not as burdens, but as image bearers. Your neighbors, your coworkers, or that stranger in your life is no mere interruption. They're your mission. Well, how do the disciples react? They react like us. They get real pragmatic. Jesus, should we cough up 8 months of wages to make this happen? That's what they do, right? Do you want us to fight 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? That's like 8 months' wages. Jesus, you want us to feed them? Do you have any idea how much that's going to cost? It's amazing that these same guys who were preaching Jesus and telling people, they showed up with so little and they were saying, hey, leave everything, come and follow Jesus. He's worth it, right? Turn from your sins, turn to Jesus, come and be close to him, right? Those who are preaching the gospel, those who were out there, those people who had been telling people to give everything to him, now that Jesus is inviting them to be compassionate, they're like, we don't have the resources for that. Have you ever felt like that? Like what God's calling you to do? You're like, I don't have the resources for that. Well, I can't. I don't have the resource. Like I can't find in myself the resources, the time, the strength, the willpower, the desire. The money that I want to do these things, God, for you, but I don't have it. You want me to do something? I can't. Well, look what Jesus does in our final point, the miracle he works. He calls them to do what they can't do with their own stuff. He wants to use them, but in order to use them, he's going to invite them to trust him with what they do have. Verse 38 says they only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Apparently there was a boy in their midst who had that. John tells us that. And they gather this small amount, and what do they do with the little they have? They give it to Jesus. 5 loaves, 2 fish. They give it to Jesus. Nothing in their hands. But in his hands, everything. Because his power, not ours, is the great multiplier. Brothers and sisters, I know that you feel like you have very little to give. Give what little you have to Jesus. That's the point. Jesus can do more with your little faithfulness than you can do with a lot of unfaithfulness. Some of us know that what we have is meager, and you think your meager is a problem. Your meager isn't a problem. Your weakness isn't a problem. Your little isn't a problem. It's what you do with it that's the problem. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul, just wounded by this thorn in his side that he's carrying, and he's praying, God, remove it from me. It's hampering my ability to do what I feel like you've called me to do. And he prays to God, and each time God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Your meager isn't the problem. It's what you do with it. The disciples take what little they have. They divide people into small groups, it says in verses 39 through 40. There were 5,000 men. Almost everybody thinks that there's at least 15,000 people. And as Jesus sits them down in groups, there's expectations and confusion and what's going to happen. And in verse 41, it says that those five loaves and two fish in the hands of Jesus after he gives thanks and hands it out, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And the two fish and the five loaves feed everybody. But it's not just that they feed everybody. Verses 42 and 43 say that they all ate and were satisfied. They had plenty with 12 baskets left over. They all ate, verse 44 says, because God's supply is limitless. Our world is limited. And we develop a scarcity mindset. So we start hoarding our time, and we hoard our money, and we hoard our energy, and we fear that there's not enough. And so we skip opportunities to be generous. And we dread commitments and plans. And we doubt God's care. And sin whispers in our ear, you better provide for yourself. But Jesus says, give it to me. I don't run out of anything. I don't run out of grace. You can't sin at a pace that outgraces God. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. More. Jesus hasn't grown tired of you. He doesn't run out. And the text says they were all satisfied. Because Jesus turns crumbs into feasts. Here he is taking bread, blessing it, and feeding the people. It's a miracle. And this moment points to a moment in the future where Jesus will take bread, he'll break it, he'll give thanks, and he'll feed people. He'll do it out of love. He'll take bread and say, this bread in that upper room is my body broken for you. His broken body points to what he accomplishes on the cross. He is the one broken so that once again, people would be satisfied. Are you dissatisfied this morning with the world's offerings? Every time you try to find satisfaction in money or success or fame or parenting, or marriage, or sex, or even religion, even Christian practices. Every time you try to find satisfaction in those things, you will end up dissatisfied. Jesus provides the satisfaction because he is our satisfaction. He forgives us all of our sins. In Mark chapter 6, most of the crowd will eat bread and fish, and most of them will remain spiritually starved. But Jesus is the one who satisfies our deepest hunger. He refers to himself as the bread of life. I am the bread of life, Jesus says in John 6. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. This miracle, church, isn't just about food. It's about Jesus himself. He doesn't just give bread. He is the bread of life. He doesn't just satisfy for a moment. He satisfies forever. And on the cross, he gives everything so that you and I would never be empty again. All we have to do is trust him. Turn from our sins and trust in Jesus. Trust in the promise that he has made. He has made promises, and God always keeps his promises. And so if he says it's finished, it's finished. If he says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. If he promises eternal life, then in him you have it by faith alone, through Christ alone. He gave everything so that we'd never be empty again. But you have to trust that he offers eternal life. You have to receive that from him. You have to trust that he paid for all of your sins. And he makes that invitation to you today in this place. As we wrap up, church, let me ask you, what little do you have that Jesus is asking you to give to him this week? What would it look like for you to trust Jesus with your not enough? Your weakness is no match for his strength. And your scarcity is no match for his abundance. Your crumbs in his hands are a feast. Because Jesus does a lot with a little. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to hear. Give us ears to hear. I pray for those who are tired in this room, that you would draw them to yourself, that they would find rest, that they would use opportunities to get rest. For those who are in need of rest spiritually, that they would find that rest in Jesus. I pray for those who have got some energy to give. Lord, would you remind them that the point of this life is not to merely escape work, but to offer our gifts and talents as you have given them to us and to steward them for the good of your kingdom. Help us to be people who continue to work day in and day out for the good of your kingdom and for your glory. Lord, would you give us eyes to see people the way you see them? If we're honest, many of us see people wrongly. We look at them as obstacles in the way of our desires. Help us to see people the way that Jesus sees them, as image bearers who are both spiritually hungry and sometimes physically hungry, and help us to have the same kind of compassion towards the weak and those who are in need that you have. Help us to have compassion that moves us towards action. And when we feel like we have very little to give and we feel like we don't have enough, we feel we're very keenly aware of our weakness and how meager what we have actually is. Give us eyes to see that as we offer it to you and entrust you with what we have, that you are more than capable of bringing about an abundance through our weakness. So help us to trust you with our not enough, seeing that any not enough we have in your hands is more than enough. And help us to once again this morning find our satisfaction in you. We've been looking this week in all kinds of places for satisfaction. Only you satisfy. Help us to taste once again and see that you are good. And I pray for those who don't know you, who have not trusted in Jesus, I pray that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear, that they would make this morning the morning they would repent of their sins and they would trust in the promises of what Jesus has done for us through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.